In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the feast of Adrian and Natalia, both martyrs, although only one was actually killed. Adrian was killed. Natalia witnessed the martyrdom, assisted him during his martyrdom, and died not very long thereafter. They're from Nicomedia, and they were during the reign of Maximian, I believe, around 306 to 308. It was Maximian's second reign. And one thing that I always noticed about these reigns of the emperors, you can count them in terms of 2 or 3 years or 10. 10 was a long time. So you'd be an emperor, and then somebody would kill you, and then there'd be another emperor. It just shows what the world was like and what the world still is like. Now, I think when we read the lives of the saints, we have to glean something from them. I like when lives are not perfect, because we're not perfect. And the life of Adrian and Natalia was not perfect. Natalia was a secret Christian. She had been raised as a Christian, but she was married to Adrian, and at the time of his martyrdom, he was 28. They had been married for a year. But he was definitely a pagan, because he was an official of the Praetorium. He would be helping with the record-taking and handling of prisoners. He was a person of some influence and some authority. Absolutely, positively, he must have been sacrificing to the emperor every year. He was a pagan. Now, perhaps in his private life, he was not, and perhaps he and Natalia had something private, but officially, he was a pagan and she was a Christian. Let's not gloss over this. Let's not say, well, you know, they were all holy. One could argue that Natalia didn't do the right thing. Now, the results turned out pretty well. And that's the important thing. Because if a person has a good heart, then God reaches them. Now, perhaps Natalia, even though she was married to him, perhaps it was an arranged marriage, perhaps she was forced into it. We don't know the exact details. But she must have prayed for her husband. And Adrian had a good heart. And he had a change of heart when he found out about these 22 Christians who had been found in a cave. And they were put in prison. And they were tortured various ways. And then they were going to be executed. Adrian went and talked to them. And asked them, why would they endure such tortures? In the bloom of their youth, they would be tortured and tormented and all kinds of terrible things done. And they would, even if they were released, they would be permanently disfigured. Why would they do such a thing? And they told him about the love of Christ. And his heart was open to Christ. Now, exactly why, what the prelude to that is, we don't know. But it must have had something to do with Natalia. Must have. And so he went to the recorders and said, enter me on the list, because I wish to die for Christ. And so he was put in prison. From being an official with some authority to being put into prison with a common prison with the rest of the Christians who were considered to be lower than low. And Natalia found out about this and thought that he had been put in prison because he did something wrong, you know, something, some sort of illegal thing. Then she found out that it was because he had professed to be a Christian. Now, this is a Christian without baptism now, okay? He's unbaptized. But the Holy Spirit is filling him with zeal and with courage. So she dressed in all of her finery. So she must have been, they must have had some money. And she went to the prison to be able to visit him and rejoiced and encouraged him. And then she would visit the prison. The prisons were, in the world, there's other places like this too. Our prisons are different, you know. You don't have people coming to prisons to give people food and clothing and such like that. In some parts of the world, if you don't have friends and family bringing you food and clothing, you're going to starve and be naked. So this is the way it was in ancient times, that people would come very regularly to the prison to take care of their loved ones. And so she did this and conversed with the martyrs-to-be and with Adrian and encouraged them. And then it came that Adrian knew the time of his martyrdom, the day of his martyrdom. So he bribed the guards, so that he could leave and go tell her. Well, when he knocks on the door, she thinks, what's he doing here? He must have apostatized, and she rebuked him. This is the wife of a person of some renown, of some money, and she was upset because she thought he was renouncing his martyrdom. Instead of, well, how many people might say, oh, okay, let's go quickly, let's get on a ship and go to Egypt right away. When nobody knows us, we'll be safe, we've got some gold, we've got some money, we can bring one or two of our slaves, everything will be fine. But instead, she rebuked him. She found out that indeed he wasn't coming to run away, he was coming to tell her of the day of her martyrdom. So she would come to the prison and take care of people, and the emperor found out about this and forbade it. So what did she do? She cut off her hair, she dressed in men's clothes, and she would go and take care of the martyrs anyway. So the day of the martyrdom arrived, and I believe that Natalia asked that he be martyred first, because she was afraid that maybe he would lose heart. And so he actually appeared before the emperor, confessed Christ boldly, and he was beaten with staves, so much that his entrails fell out. And then later on, he was put to an anvil, and they would break off his hands and his feet, maybe other parts of his body, by hitting them with a hammer on an anvil. Incredibly painful. Natalia was with him, holding him, comforting him, encouraging him during the very time of his martyrdom. This is real, true marriage here, where she's helping him to be in the kingdom forever, not just temporary life. So whatever she did in the beginning, where she married him, and perhaps maybe she shouldn't have done it, maybe she was afraid, maybe she made a concession, who knows? But because of her prayer, because of her zeal, she encouraged her husband in his death and the death of the other 23 martyrs. And she actually stole one of his hands that had been cut off and kept it as a relic. And then later on, after their martyrdom, of course she's a marked woman at that point, right? So she ran away so she wouldn't be violated. The reason why she had kept her Christianity secret was because she didn't want to be violated by the pagans. And indeed, that's a problem even in our day. We should be aware that in places like Egypt, there are fathers who weep because they have beautiful daughters, because they're afraid that their daughters will be raped. And many times this does occur, and of course there is no judgment for this. The people who rape them, being Muslim, are not judged for this. And in fact, sometimes a woman who is raped is then judged for being an adulterer because of these bizarre sins in our world. So to this day, this is happening. There are people that are afraid. They go to bed afraid that their daughters are going to be violated or stolen away or tortured, or that people will come with hunting knives and cut off the heads of their family. That certainly has been happening, and probably still is happening in Syria. Of course, that's not important news. What's important news is whatever LGBTQ thing is happening in Iowa or something nowadays. But the world is not interested in whether or not people are being martyred. But it's happening in our day. We have to be aware of it. So the story of Adrian and Natalia is not an isolated story that is in the dustbin of history. There are still martyrs even now. And we have to be aware of this and ask their intercession. And also, we have to learn something from their life. So I learned two things from their life. One of them is that let's not judge. We can say, well, you know, it's not a good idea for you to do this. You shouldn't marry this person because they're not a Christian, or something like that. Yeah. So once they've married the person, what are you going to do? You're going to put a red check mark by their name or something? You still pray for them and help them and be free of judgment And we should also believe that God can bring anyone to repentance. He brought Adrian to repentance through the prayers of Natalia. So what are we doing? Are we praying for those people that we think are far gone? I know a zillion of them. Just an incredible number of people that are not doing too well. Do you pray for those people? Do you pray for people in your life that have come in and out of it, are in a bad way? You had better do that. This is what this life of St. Adrian and Natalia teaches us. We should not believe anyone is lost. We should commend them to the mercy of God. And we should also be amazed at the courage of both Adrian and Natalia. Because it's one thing to be courageous and say, I'm a Christian, I will confess Christ. It's another thing when a person holds a hammer and has one of your joints on the anvil. Then it's very hard, very difficult. But they had that kind of courage because God helped them. So we have to pray for that courage. We have to pray for the love that would be such that we would pray for others and care about others, not be full of judgment of them. I don't mean we should pretend that they're doing fine. We're not going to be like the crowd nowadays says, love is love, and say, whatever people do is okay. No, whatever people do is not always okay. But we should pray for people without judgment of them. And that's really what their life teaches me. And there's another great thing about their life, just like St. Sophia. Sophia wasn't killed because of Christ. She watched her three children be killed right before her eyes and encouraged them. But she wasn't killed. She, a week later, on the grave, not having eaten probably the entire time, died. We consider her to be a martyr as much as we do St. Natalia, who was not killed for confessing Christ. She watched her husband brutally murdered and tortured for confessing Christ, and we count her among the martyrs. And also one other thing, Adrian was not baptized until his blood flowed. And now we call that the baptism of blood. So indeed, God received him into his kingdom because of his confession, because of his courage, because of his love, and with the help of his wife. And he was baptized in his blood. Through their holy prayers, may God help them. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.